ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there on a wet Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We'll tell you all about Paul Jones Drug as we move along throughout the show. Thank you to Rodney Skinner there at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street here in Elk City, for being a part of the show each and every Tuesday. Coming up today, Memorial Day, Jared. It's coming up. It's this weekend.
Right.
It's kind of the unofficial start of summer. Or the, you know, it feels like as soon as Memorial Day gets here, hey, summer's here. School's out. Been out for a week or two, depending on where your kiddos went to school. Getting out. And now it's like, okay, summertime. You know what that means to me?
What does that mean?
Summertime? Movies.
Movies, yes.
And a big one coming this weekend.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Top Gun.
Oh, I was
Maverick.
Oh, I was going to say Bob's Burgers movie.
Not Bob's Burgers.
You don't like some Bob's Burgers?
No. What a ridiculous show. Top Gun, Maverick.
Yes, that too.
Are you're clearly more excited for Bob's Burgers, which is a huge disappointment already.
You're already
disappointing the fans.
No,
we
no,
just
no, no.
started the show.
I love movies.
I know.
I love movies. The problem is finding time to go to movies. So I try not to get too excited until I know when I can go or it is available to stream anymore, you know? Like, you know me, I'm a nerd for Marvel movies. I've yet to see the new Doctor Strange because I have not had time. But yeah, the new Top Gun, absolutely. My wife and I love Bob's Burgers. We look forward to that one too. But
I might have to wait
till it comes out on demand or whatever.
Ha! There you go, Tyler Harrison. Made all my kids watch the original one so we can go see the new one.
There you
exactly.
Go.
Hey. Okay, so here's this. Are we calling this a sequel?
Why not?
Or is it more of a continuation to the story? Which, isn't that what a sequel is?
Well, yeah, well, that's one and the same, right?
I think so.
You just described
a sequel.
Described a sequel, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to call this a sequel.
Yeah, and it, you know, in a weird way, at the end of the first one, it kind of set up for a sequel. Because, you know, he asked him, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be an instructor. And I think that's what it is now, right? He is an instructor.
I believe he's an instructor. I think...
You got Goose's son is in it?
Yeah, I think...
Right?
Yeah, I think Little Goose is coming.
Yeah.
Little Mav. Is going to be a Little Mav? Hopefully they get a different love interest than what Kelly McGillis looks like now.
Eeh.
I said it.
Ouch.
Don't feel bad about saying it at all, actually.
I know Jennifer Connelly's in it. Maybe that's...
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Yep. I wonder if Meg Ryan returns.
Yeah, poor Meg Ryan.
You know, I don't know.
Speaking of.
Or Iceman.
Man, I mean, you're going down the list of attractive people that aren't anymore.
That's not Val Kilmer's fault. He had some medical stuff going on with his
Oh, he did? I thought he just got fat.
No, medical stuff and... I saw that in one of the trailers, there's a picture of him. I'm sure that was doctored.
Val Kilmer is in it.
Okay. There you go. Good.
All right. So here's the question. How excited are you for this one? And then for this movie? And then also, what's a movie from your childhood? Because this would be kind of our childhood.
Absolutely. I'm 36 years old. So
yeah,
you realize that? 36 years old.
Okay, I'm 40. I'm 41. That's how old this movie is, 36
is
now?
Yes.
36. Okay, so what's a movie from back then, or anybody's childhood? It doesn't have to be our childhood. It can be however old you are. That you want to see kind of a sequel of, or not really, this isn't a remake. So it's not like, I don't want remakes.
We don't want a reboot or a
So what do you, I mean, what movie would you like to, hey, I wonder what happened next?
Yeah,
or I wonder where this guy is, or I wonder what happened to that character.
Which is kind of what's become Hollywood lately.
A little bit.
Is rehashing.
And so it's going to be hard,
revisiting.
And I guarantee I'm going to step in it because I haven't been to the movie theater I think Rogue One was the last time I actually went to the movie theater. I'm
wow.
not kidding.
Wow. That is a long time ago.
It was a while back. So I'm probably going to say something that has already happened. Like, you're going to go look at me with a weird look and go, Aaron, they've already made that one.
Oh, okay.
Is what I'm saying. So what are some of the what's movies
That's
from your
question.
Childhood that you would like to see a sequel to now? Also, we didn't get into Saban versus Fisher yesterday. We're going to hit that pretty hard today. I was out of pocket on Friday, so I didn't get your full thoughts. And then now we've had a little bit more since Friday come out about this. So we'll hit that. A new FPI in college football was released yesterday on ESPN's website. We'll look at those rankings. Also wrap up the PGA completely with a little bow. And the NBA playoffs. Disappointing so far for what we thought they might be. Talk about that as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has it all. Three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight. ThePennyNews.com is the website there. Of course, the print copy. Print edition, the free print edition, will start filtering around on tomorrow evening into Thursday. You've also got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and find that on iTunes or KADSAM.com. Good morning, Jared.
We're staying dry. Isn't this great?
This is phenomenal. Everyone around our area has needed rain for quite some time now, and it does appear that everyone around our area has received some rain, and most everybody's got quite a little bit here. It's, you know what I mean? So it's been fantastic so far.
Yes,
and
it has.
Hopefully it continues throughout the day, and everything will be good.
Yes, yes. I loved hearing that rain on the rooftop this morning.
Ouch.
Once again,
oh,
more direct text to your phone,
oh,
and I
no.
can't defend myself. I can only imagine what that text is about.
I'll show you in the break.
Great.
But we've got a listener that thinks he knows why you've been too busy for movies.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
And I think he's right, but he also pokes a little fun at it. Softball, kids, all that.
That's the main reason.
It is. It definitely is. But as he said, it looks to me like there's enough of you there where maybe you can slide off for a weekend.
I don't understand.
Enough coaches that maybe you could miss one weekend and go watch a movie.
Oh, really? Because
there's plenty more of you there.
Is this an opposing coach?
Nah, his kids are older.
Oh.
His kids are older.
Okay.
You don't see the 2-to-1 kid to coach ratio very often, so I commend you guys.
There's 13 kids. We need a coach on third, obviously, to pitch, because it's still coach pitch.
That's true.
I'm over on first, and we need someone in the dugout to rile him up or keep him in order.
Oh, yeah.
Batting order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we need an official bookkeeper.
That's five.
Mm-hmm. That's what we have. That's all we have.
There weren't any women that were available for those jobs?
Two of them are women.
Oh, they are. I just saw hats. I couldn't tell.
Two of them are women.
Oops.
They're great moms.
It's hard for me to see. Oh, looky there. Sure enough. It's still a pretty good ratio. Couldn't get one more guy to make it 2-to-1?
No.
Oh, question. You're missing one. Who plays the walk-up music?
We don't do that.
Oh, no.
We don't do that.
Really?
We play...
at the U of C?
We play pump-up music when they're warming up. We'll have a jukebox out there, and they demand it.
The children do.
Oh, they need that music. So when we're warming up, sure. But we don't do the walk-up music or the now batting
you
number
don't?
Six. No, we don't do that.
I can't believe you don't do that.
No.
You have all the equipment here to get that done.
I know. Don't. Please don't. I've been asked.
I've done it.
I know you have.
Don't do it anymore. Going around and get beat 5-0. You don't get walk-up music.
You don't want to mess with with what we got. We got a routine. We don't want to add a routine or anything. You know what we've added that's been kind of cool is we got this toy crown. Like,
oh no, for hitting home runs.
Yep. And it's so cool because when someone does it, they all run out there and they crown the so. Whoever,
like OSU, when they hit a home run, they put the cowboy hat on.
Is that what they do?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll go out, the girls will run out there, and they'll put the crown on the home run queen at that moment. And then it's passed on to the next person. So those little things, you want to motivate them, right?
That's right.
So, anywho.
Where were we? NBA playoffs.
NBA playoffs. I watched a little last night. Speaking of movies, there's that I was excited. I was watching the Eastern Conference, obviously. And halftime, they showed the new trailer for the new Thor movie. So I can't wait till that comes out on demand.
He said he just teasing he'd go back to that in a heartbeat at that age because it was more fun.
Yeah, after this season, we're on to the kid pitch.
I wonder. Now, I've watched some of that.
The kid pitch. The first round of it, the first.
Isn't that where, like, if they get to four balls, doesn't the coach come out and pitch?
There is something like this. I'm ignorant to it. I don't know. I've seen a little of it, and then I saw that happen, and I had to ask, well, what's going on here? So it's a good bridge, I think, between coach pitch.
You let a kid pitch, but then also you let kids hit if it's just a walk fest.
Right.
I think that's how that went.
Yeah. So that's in the fall. So we'll make that switch.
All right. So how you watched the game last night? I didn't.
It was all Boston.
I looked at score at one point. Jason Tatum. It was 67-37.
Yeah, it was all Boston. I had a feeling about this series, didn't you? Didn't we both kind of have a feeling about this Eastern Conference? I wasn't too confident about the Western Conference because it's Golden State versus Luka. And that's what it's turned into.
Yeah. Dallas blew game two. They had to get game two for that to make it a series. And the way they started, it looked like they were going to even not only get one, but get one on the road. And then the Warriors came storming back. And you almost felt like that comeback in that second half of game two was the end.
Right.
And it's looking like that's going to be the case. Dallas may win tonight. Yeah, and then Golden State finish off the gentleman's sweep in five games. But, yeah, I think if I remember right, I think I had Warriors in six and Heat in seven. And I think you may have had both in seven, actually. You were riding the Mav high.
I think a little much because I thought Luka.
I think you had them both seven game series.
But you made a good point before that series started was, yes, Luka's great, but he needs help. It's clear. He needs help. What did he have, 40-something? In game three?
Yeah, he's on that Russell Westbrook train where scoring 40 in the playoffs means your team loses.
Yeah. So
not great.
But the Eastern Conference, I had a feeling would go, and it feels like it's going to go to distance. Anyways, Boston came out roaring last night, like started, what, a 19-2 run, 16-2 run, something like that. Jason Tatum was awesome.
Let me find that. I found this last night. The Heat. Okay, so the Heat didn't make a shot from the field until 3:22 left in the first quarter.
Ouch. That'll get
you. That's the longest drought to start any playoff game in over 25 years.
That'll get you.
But, here's the problem, though. They also – did Jimmy Butler end up playing?
Yeah, he only had 6 points.
Well, I think they were going to kind of see how he
played
was.
27 minutes.
Yeah,
so
they at least did
chunk of it.
I know Hero was out.
Oladipo was good. He had 23 points, but when P.J. Tucker has 0 points, Butler has 6 points, it was just dismal. It was a dismal shooting night for
the
Miami.
The Heat starters only had 12 in the first half.
It's ridiculous. So Boston should have won that game with that start.
For sure. Tatum's been awesome. For me, here's another one. ESPN Stats and Info is full of interesting nuggets from this game. You mentioned Oladipo playing well. He had 23. The entire Heat starting lineup had 18. It's the first playoff game that an entire starting lineup was outscored by a bench player since starters were tracked in 1970. Mm. Doesn't it feel like Boston's better?
Yeah, it does.
At this and it's point, just a matter like, okay, the Heat.
I thought the Heat were better put together, which we've raved about with how they've built that. You know, they're, what, 2 years removed from the finals. They just seem like they're a better built team, a better built franchise. But when we put them on the court, it just feels like Boston's the better team right now.
And it also feels like Boston is the team you want to see play Golden State.
Because they can play
defense. Because they might. It feels like they're the better matchup.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a good series. The Heat, I mean, they're deep. They've got good players, obviously. And you know, Jimmy Butler's kind of stepped up this postseason maybe to a level that he hasn't been since, I guess, probably since the bubble. But in the bubble, you wondered, okay, is it just because he's kind of mentally tough and the rest of them aren't? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. you almost pushed that aside a little bit because it was in the bubble. But no, he's been good. You know, Hero hasn't been very good for most of the playoffs, which has been really kind of their downfall in the games they've lost. But as much as it feels like Boston's better, and as much as it feels like for the Heat to win the series, Boston's going to have to kind of give it to them. The Heat have just, they've been good enough, right? I mean, they've been good enough so far. And they still have the home court with two of the final three on down in Miami. But having said that, you know, some home courts in game seven, you kind of look at and go, oh, yeah, they got no chance.
Yeah.
The road team. I don't feel like that is the way the Miami crowd is. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Boston went in there and won a game seven.
Yeah, Miami's crowd is easy to take out of.
Well, part of the reason is they don't get there till about midway through the second quarter.
Yeah, and then it could be too late. Or they leave early. Remember right. that infamous game where the big three, and they were down against two, Dallas? And they were, I mean, they were leaving in droves. And then they come back, and they were trying to get back in. So, that being said, I think Miami's crowd is easy to, yeah, it's, you get a quick start on like you did last night in Miami. They might never show up.
Right. Yeah, just turn around on the way to the arena.
Yeah.
No, for me, I think it's been a little bit disappointing. Just because.
The East or overall?
Overall. I mean, you know, the Dallas-Phoenix series was a good one, but then it just left such a sour taste in your mouth the way it ended with that brutal beatdown that the Mavericks put when Phoenix, you know, you want to see it get there so that Game 7 will be epic. And then it was for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, even this Miami and Boston series, if it goes set, the games just haven't been memorable, right? I mean, Boston's won two blowouts. The Heat have won two decent games. You know, and really, the first half of Game 1, they were getting dominated, and then they just flipped the switch completely. Like it's like the games, very few of them have been well played by both teams. It's either be one team just completely being terrible, one team being great, but it's happened at the same time. Like, even sometimes you get close games that aren't great, but it's okay because it's close when both teams kind of struggle, you know. And of course, there's the ones where both teams play great and it's close. That's the most fun, obviously. But it feels like throughout this entire playoffs, anytime a team has played bad, the team they played against has played good, and so it's just been a horrible game. And there was, I saw another stat about the blowouts, how many 20-point games there have been in this playoffs, and it's a humongous number. Let me see if I can find that. But anyhow, I just, for what we thought, I mean, and we've gotten the matchups we wanted, right? I mean, we kind of wanted, outside of Phoenix and Golden State, I think most people were leaning toward that one and wanted to see that one. But, you know, we've pretty well gotten a lot of the matchups, especially in the East, that we wanted. It just hasn't necessarily materialized the way we thought going in.
Yeah, if for a series that's 2-2, you'd think it's be a fun, you know, you'd want those to be 2-2 with the margin of victory of an average of like 4 or 5 points.
Right.
Exciting finishes at the end. Hasn't really been the case. It's like whoever wins is just winning, going away.
Well, going into last night, the Heat had only won two of the 12 quarters in the series. and they were up 2-1.
Yeah.
Because those two, they won by a margin of 46 points. But it's just been a little bit disappointing for me. It just hasn't been memorable yet.
You think this is a precursor for what the finals are going to look like?
Yeah. I think Golden State's going to kill somebody. And yeah. I don't know, Boston maybe not. Because Boston can defend, and they've got guys. You know, I think that's definitely the most interesting one in my mind. The Heat, you know, both teams, but they're fairly mirror image, though. I shouldn't say that, but they're fairly mirror image in made kind of defensively. I just feel like Boston, because of Tatum and Jaylen Brown, probably have a little bit more firepower to try to hang with Golden State if it becomes a score fest. Like, if it becomes a score fest, don't you feel like Miami just gets trounced? Like, they can't keep up?
Yeah.
Especially if Hero isn't going to make any shots.
Right. Absolutely does.
So, I don't know. East just hasn't quite been what we were hoping for, at least what I was hoping for, I should say. Let's wrap up the PGA next. We'll get the PGA. We'll get the Saban talk.
Cut.
And then we'll hit movies. Movies from your childhood that you'd like to see a sequel to. I've got some answers over here. Hit that text line, 225-9698. It's Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We'll tell you all about them when we come back. Right here in the Skinny on Sports.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street, in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports. Here at a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday, Rodney Skinner and the team down at Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. Experienced compounding. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. Free local delivery. They got the drive-through parking. Curbside testing and vaccinations and long-term care. Unit packaging, blister packs is what is how those are described. And then convenience packaging. We talked about that a few times. Instead of having to have the big giant plastic pill container with days on it, you just have a convenient little package that you rip open, take your pills, and you're done with those for the day. It's Rodney Skinner down there at Paul Jones Drug. Care you can trust right here in the Elk City area, 809 North Main Street. Beautiful location there at Paul Jones Drug. All right, so the PGA, let's kind of wrap it up with some topics we didn't discuss yesterday. I thought it was fascinating television for the 15 minutes that Will Zalatoris was on number 6 after he hit it over the green and bounced into the trees, trying to figure out where to take that drop, how to take that drop legally, and the battle that he was having with the rules official to try to use the rules to his advantage to get across the cart path to where he could put the ball on grass. It did not happen. I still don't understand. It was hard to – we were driving back kind of watching, and the whole thing didn't play out. I mean, one of the most ridiculous commercials CBS took all weekend was right in the midst of the conversation. They go to the – on the course or whatever that is, but the problem is the audio was the commercials, right? And so you couldn't hear what they were saying.
Yeah.
And I assume that because when you first found the ball, I thought, okay, he's going to have to take an unplayable, which gets him to the cart path, which gets him across the cart path, and then that's where he's going to be able to drop this ball. And I think that's what he assumed as well. But if the way I understood it, because he couldn't take the stance, or he could take a stance but not get to the ball on the tree side of the path, that disallowed him from being able to use the cart path stance rule because it had to be from the spot his ball was where he took the unplayable as opposed to the club links that he moved it to. And so, therefore, all he could get to was the cart path out of the trees. Mm-hmm. And then once he got there,
he was unable to continue on. I still, and then of course he has to be in the seam of the cart path because the ball won't stop or whatever. I mean, it was nuts how that all played out. And then the crazy thing was he got it up and down.
Yeah,
from the cart path to the green and rolled in that putt. I mean, that's it was a bizarre sequence, and I wish CBS would have done a better job of trying to explain that, because even the rules official they had on site there kind of led you to believe it was going to happen the way we thought. He was going to come across after the club length drop off the cart path drop, and then you could almost see him a little bit bewildered, like, wait a minute, like wanting to listen to what that guy was saying. Then they brought in another official, and he agreed. So anyway, that was pretty wild. And you got to be a real golf dork like me to enjoy the rules debacle conversation. I was watching Patrick Reed closely in the right rough on number 9 to make sure he didn't move his ball there on Saturday. But that was fascinating to me. And then, you know, coming out of it, I think the conversation is, you know, with Thomas getting his second major, is there one of these guys, and there's probably 10 or 15 different guys we can talk about, will one of them kind of separate themselves from the pack over the next 5 or 6 years and knock off 3 or 4 of these things over a 6 or 7 year period? And if you think there might be, who's it going to be?
Well, again, it's like a wait and see. We want to say Thomas because he's the most recent guy, or we want to say, you know, Zalatoris, or, you know, he's a young guy that's coming up. And then, you know, there's those guys that are just right there on the edge that, you know, like, well, I mean, Rory was there. Koepka, we think, has the potential. I mean, there's just a lot of options. We just have to see it. You know, will we see it in June? Will we see one of these guys that are constantly contending be up there? And is that going to give us our answer as far as not so much winning it, but finishing in, say, the top 5 consistently?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
you know what I mean?
If you finish there enough, something like what happened on Sunday will happen, and you'll pick one off.
Yeah.
You know, the way that Thomas did. I think it's interesting, though. It's just, I mean, you think about where Rory was, and you think about where Koepka was. Just a few, I mean, heck, even Koepka back as recently as last year's PGA, where it felt like, oh my gosh, he's about to win his 5th one, because surely 51-year-old Phil Mickelson can't hold him off. And then that didn't happen, and then all of a sudden his wrist and now his hip. And, it, you know, it's interesting to me that a lot of these guys, you think about, I mean, one of the two main major transformations that have happened since Tiger Woods started playing golf is, A, the prize money has just gone insane compared to what it was, and B, the level of fitness these guys have gotten to is so much higher than it ever was before Tiger.
Right.
But what's interesting to me, and maybe it happened, you just didn't pay as much attention because it wasn't as big a deal because golf just wasn't at that level. But outside of, say, Fred Couples, who destroyed his back in his prime, you can't, you know, with those guys that weren't working out and just kind of were what they were, you can't really think of a whole bunch of injuries that those older, you know, that generation back had. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, I mean, just in the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, you've had Koepka, you've had Bryson right now, you've got Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, you know, guys that have won majors, like seemingly ready to take off, and then they got injured. But they're at such a different level of fitness and of being in shape that any of those guys were before them. But like John Daly said, you can't pull fat. And so maybe there's something to that, to where they've almost gotten themselves in such good shape that they're more of an athlete than they ever were before. And what happens to athletes? They get injured. You know, so maybe, yeah, maybe there's a balance there somewhere. I mean, Rory's missed because of injury on some of these majors. DJ has missed because of, you know, and everybody has. And that just didn't seem like, outside of, like I said, Freddie, there wasn't a lot of guys that were like that in that generation before that weren't necessarily workout warriors like these guys all seem to be now.
That's true. They're so in tune to their body that as soon as something aches, they thought, that's an injury. I got to sit out.
Yeah, and you know, maybe they're just softer, not playing through stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good point that I really hadn't thought about, that they know so much that one little thing, they're like, uh-uh, can't play.
Right.
But that
could lead to a bigger injury. I got to
withdraw
from this upcoming event. Yeah.
But it's shocking that they do it at the majors.
Right.
And another thing that's shocking is just how inconsistent. I mean, now listen, I'm not sitting here saying Tiger and Phil and like Ernie Els, they weren't battling at the top of the leaderboard at every single major, although it felt like it. I mean, there was times where they were back in the middle of the pack. But you know what they rarely did? Miss the cut. They rarely missed the cut.
Right.
And we just saw the Masters champion, number one player in the world, at his quote at his self-proclaimed favorite golf course in the world, miss the cut. That just never would happen. And we see a lot of these guys missing cuts. And I think it goes back a little bit to how much money they make. And so if there's not the same grind to be forced to make the cut so that you can put, not, I mean, I'm going overboard here, but to be able to put food on your family's table as there was in the past. Now, the way back, guys, that was the truth. You know, as golf's gotten more popular and the prize money's gotten higher, some of that's not as true anymore, and obviously not at all now. But I wonder if that's part of the reason why we see inconsistency as well, where you start off, you know, start off bad. There's not that grind to make the cut and then see if you can play two great rounds over the weekend, like Webb Simpson did. He made the cut right on the number, then he shot 5-under on Saturday when everybody else was blowing up. And all of a sudden, you looked up and he was on the front page of the leaderboard. You rarely see that anymore out of these guys, which is why it was kind of shocking that Justin Thomas's comeback was the largest in the history of the PGA. 7 shots, third largest comeback in any major ever. It just doesn't seem like the era of that right now. But it was a perfect storm of him playing pretty well on a difficult golf course and everybody above him not having any experience winning anything like that. Mito Pereira, obviously, that moment was too big for him in the end.
Yeah.
So what's next? If I gave you, you know, that it's, you know, the group of 15 players, the Spieth, Rahm, Cantlay, well, he hadn't won one yet, but he's kind of in there. You know, Hovland, Scheffler, McIlroy, DJ. You know the group, Morikawa, Thomas, those guys that are all hovering from like 4 to 2 majors. If I said, okay, who's going to win 8? Who would you pick? Or would you pick anybody?
I don't want to pick anybody.
What about 6?
Maybe.
Because that's Rory, Koepka, and Spieth all at 4.
Yeah, I can see that.
Can they knock off 2 more at some point?
To get to six. Yeah, I can see that. If Rory can put it together for 4 days, absolutely.
What is the deal with him, man?
I don't know. No one believed after Thursday that he would be a contender on Sunday.
I know, and he played the best round you could possibly think about playing on Thursday.
It was like, hey, that was a nice round. And then,
but when is it coming? When is the fall coming?
Right, right.
And it happened on Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah. We would sit there and watch him do it. On that little run from 6, 7, 8. And then, of course, it's just so interesting to me for him specifically how he, when the pressure seemingly on because of where he is on leaderboard, is where he falls. And then as soon as the fall starts to happen or he gets what appears to be far enough back to where he can't win, all of a sudden, here he comes. You know, he starts out with 4 birdies on Sunday to get to 4-under. You're thinking he needed 6, which if he would have got to 6, he wins outright. But he's 4-under making the turn, and he hit the ball incredibly well throughout most of the back 9. And he couldn't make anything. when he was making everything on the front, right? I mean, you know, it's just it's like the same script, just a different day with him. And you wonder why. Because, well, when you think about his majors, the first one at the U.S. Open at Congressional, he blew away the field. He did the same thing at Kiawah Island. But he was in the he had to hit shots down the stretch with pressure on at the 2014 British and the PGA with Ricky Fowler chasing him in both of them. And he did. But there's something there. Something has happened since that time where it looked like he was damn near unbeatable. Like, he's the one that kind of reminded you of Tiger, because when he got the lead, he increased it to where he was blowing people away. And then it just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
He would be my pick, though, out of all of them. He would be my pick. Just because it seems like he's too good not to.
Right, he's a safer bet. That, like I said, I think he could put – eventually he's going to put four rounds of golf together. Or really even two and a half or three.
I mean, that's the thing. He's so good when he's good that he doesn't have to play four of them.
Exactly.
He can play two and a half or three and just not have that other one – just have that other one be mediocre and not terrible.
Exactly.
Hey, by the way, we're talking about the margin of victory or how boring the playoff games have been. I just saw this from Justin Fan on Twitter. The margin of victory over the last 17 playoff games, 19.8 points. There's only been 7 clutch minutes out of whatever 48 times 17 is. It's a lot. And clutch is only within a 5-point game in the last 5 minutes. There's only been 7 clutch minutes in the last 17 playoff games. You're talking about end of the semifinals and the conference finals. That's rough.
Yeah.
That's back to the point we were making. All right, what about Saban and Fisher? Do you have a side?
Well, I was on one side initially.
Which side?
Jimbo's side.
Oh, no.
When it first came out.
How come?
Maybe part of me because I just wanted to see the fall of Nick Saban. Maybe this was the start of it. But then some numbers were thrown at me, and I brought this to the show on Friday. Fisher, and I said it too on Thursday, was it? Was, you need to be careful what he's saying, because it could come back to bite him when he adamantly denied everything. But, I'd have to look it up. I should have had this ready. His recruiting, and someone said, this is why he's denying it. It's a pride thing with coaches in recruiting. And he would like people to think that he got this all-time otherworldly recruiting class without the NIL. Because I was able to recruit these guys to A&M without the enticement of NIL money. But we all know that's BS, right?
He said there was only one. He said one guy had an NIL deal in that entire recruiting class.
But
been reports of at least three that decommitted from Oklahoma and went to Texas A&M that told the coaches at OU they did it because they were getting more money at A&M.
Right.
So that kind of blows that in the water.
The report, I think, came out last night. I saw it this morning of the player, the recruit out of Pennsylvania, who was going to be on this all-state, all-star team in Pennsylvania or Maryland or something like that coming up this weekend. And the report was that A&M threatened to take away his NIL deal if he played in it. They didn't want him playing in it. So he had to pull out of that game. Now, since then, the player has adamantly denied it, which makes me think.
As you would.
A&M say, hey, you need to deny this. But, and I get where Nick's coming from, where Nick Saban's coming from, is, the NIL, and his apology I thought was, spot on, saying, okay, apologize for calling out individuals, but not going to apologize with my critique of the NIL. It needs wrangled in a little bit.
Yeah.
So, But to have Fisher just get on a press conference and to go on that rant, I'm like, come on. And I was thinking, man, why wouldn't he just go up there and go, yeah, you know what? I did get these players here. And guess what, players?
We'll give you more. We'll
get, yeah, you want to play? You want to make NIL money? Come to A&M. Look what I got these guys. But again, I think it goes back to a pride thing. Like, no, I don't want to say the only way I can get the historical best recruiting class ever is because of the NIL. I want to say I got it because I'm a fantastic recruiter.
Which may both can be true. He can be a great recruiter, and the NIL helps too.
Why not embrace it? That's what I was kind of coming at. Like, he would have people knocking down his door saying, I want to play here because I got a chance to make a lot of money.
I guess my thought in the uproar of the reaction from Fisher, and Spurrier said this weekend, it's so great that Steve Spurrier got involved. Missing him for sure.
Yeah.
I guess my question is this: what did Saban say that wasn't true?
True. Yeah, that's another.
And
yeah.
Here's something else he didn't say. He never said they cheated.
No.
He didn't say that. Now, Jimbo fired back and called Saban
a
cheater.
That's exactly what I said Friday, was he never said what you guys were doing was illegal.
No, he never said that. And where was he when he said this?
Saban?
Yeah.
Was it like
it was like a caravan type, a booster type thing.
Right,
you know what he was doing?
Say, hey, if you want to be like A&M, we need...
Exactly right. Yeah. He was rallying. It was like, listen... I don't want to compare these two things because they're not even close to the same, but he was making an altar call. Hey.
Right.
Get that 10% out, baby. Pass, and for you guys, it's more like 50.
Pass the offering plate.
And pass the plate. If you guys want us to continue to be Alabama, then by golly, here's how you're going to have to do it, because look what they're doing. And here's the thing. It's legal.
Yeah. I said that too.
He didn't say anything that wasn't true. Now, did he maybe shouldn't have called out certain individuals? Sure, you can be vague. And he can. Here's the thing. He can say, hey, we had the second best recruiting class. We got beat by a team in our own division because they were paying. Even that's not as bad as just flat out saying the words Texas A&M. Everybody would know who he's talking about, but he's not necessarily calling them out by name.
Right.
And Dion, sorry about Dion, but Dion, you're at the kids' table, son. No one cares what you have to think because everybody knows what happened. And he did not. Kudos to him, though, because when I was in here Thursday, I thought he was going to make it a race thing, and he really didn't to the level I thought he was going to. When you saw his tweet about playing for our people being capital, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I thought, oh gosh, here we go. But he didn't do it that way. And you know, Saban did apologize for calling those guys out, but for Fisher, Fisher's the one that called somebody a cheater.
Yeah.
He flat out said it. Yeah. And so if you're going to, okay, bud, do it. Let's see it.
Yeah.
If you're going to call Nick Saban a cheater and that Alabama's only had success because they cheated and you know where the skeletons are buried, dig them up.
Well, here's the problem with that. Wasn't he coaching with Saban?
Of course he was. Oops.
Mm-hmm. So if people start digging that up, didn't he just?
Well, and then for him to say that Bobby Bowden taught him how to do things right, I mean, Free Shoes University is a thing, right? Was that just happening before he got there?
That's true.
So that's the problem. But it's funny how these coaches, you can say anything in the world about them, but you're right, and I think pride is a big part of it. As soon as you accuse them of something on the recruiting trail, then it's like, oh, whoa. Questioning my integrity now. I mean, really? It's funny how that's the button that you could push on just about any of them to see that hubris come right out, and all of a sudden it's like they can't coach football because you're accusing him of cheating on the recruiting trail, right? It's funny how that works.
Do you think the younger coaches would embrace it too? Even Lincoln Riley's like, oh, no way, you know, with how his dealings in the portal. I mean, he just got the best wide receiver in the nation. You know, and he'll still say that, oh, I didn't know we didn't promise him anything. And he'll, you know, he's done it before. It's deny.
I mean, there's a clear pattern with these upper echelon super duper transfers he's getting. And it's everybody knows you're coming here take a while to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Jordan Addison was always – Williams went to Wisconsin and
– Yeah.
Everybody knew where he's going.
Yeah.
Just a way to try to – the longer you wait, the less scrutiny and the less outrage there might be. So he's got a clear pattern.
Yes. For me, though – it's the new norm is the NIL. So why not just embrace it?
Well, it's, I mean, you're pretty silly for not doing it before there's a bunch of restrictions.
Yeah.
If you've got the means and you've got the people that want to do it, why wouldn't you?
If I'm Jimbo, I'm saying,
well, yeah,
I do was wrong? What law or rule did I break?
And even Saban didn't say he broke anything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the craziness of it all. He took it. He got so butthurt about it. About what Saban said, that he clearly knows is right.
Yeah.
That then he went to accusing somebody of cheating. Like it's like, nobody accused you of cheating. Just said simply that A&M doesn't get the best recruiting class of all time without money. And that's true. You know how I know it's true? History. It's never happened that way. So he started throwing supposedly millions of dollars. Now that's another, how much of this is real?
Yeah.
And if I was him, if you really wanted to act like you were big and bad and the man, say, hey, we haven't paid anybody anything yet, which might be true.
Yeah.
Until they get on campus. They came here because they wanted to come to A&M. All right, we're talking about movies next. Wrapping up the Skinny on Sports on a Tuesday.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
All right, welcome back. Skinny on Sports, wrapping up a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Mentioned all the things at Paul Jones Drug, from the long-term care unit packaging, convenience packaging. Also got the durable medical equipment, walkers, canes, crutches, wraps, and braces. But it's not just the medical stuff. Gifts, greeting cards, they accept most insurances as well. Paul Jones Drug, care you can trust at 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. Thank you to Rodney Skinner and all the gang down there at Paul Jones Drug. Okay, Jared, so on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for Top Gun Maverick?
I'm interested, so I'd say about 8.5.
Was that a movie that you enjoyed as a kid?
Yes.
Me too.
It's one of those favorite kid memories from the movie itself all the way down to the soundtrack, you know. It was movie gold. It's awesome. One you could always watch.
That's right. It was always a very, very good movie. We asked before, or back at the first of the show, what are some movies you as a kid that you'd like to see a sequel to, kind of like this one? Here's one, Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Ferris Bueller, what's he doing now?
I thought of this one, but we got sequels. Karate Kid.
Oh, we got a dang TV series.
I know, we got, you know, that was one of my favorites. Here's one. Whatever happened to the Goonies?
Goonies is a good one.
Did they just waste all that fortune? did they use it for good?
What about, I think of like in the sports realm of kids movies I loved, Little Giants, Sandlot. That just came
Sandlot
up on the text
line. Sandlot came up on the text line,
The Little Giants, you know, they're not so little anymore.
Icebox? There's lots
what
of
are they doing?
Unfortunately,
you know?
We all know.
Are their kids Little Giants now?
Unfortunately, we know the direction they'd send Icebox in nowadays. Poor thing. Went from kind of the.
They did kind of reboot the Ninja Turtles, but those, I love that first and second movie, the live action one.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a ninja. And then, of course, we've seen Ghostbusters, and they brought back Ghostbusters.
They've done that. You know, the sports, I'm afraid you're going to say they've done this because it seems like, and we were talking about Val Kilmer earlier. Did they do, like, a Drago movie?
Creed 2.
Yeah, see, I didn't know there was, what's that?
Have you seen Creed?
No.
Oh, Aaron.
No.
Aaron.
What was it about? What's this?
It is.
I'll tell you if it's what I want it to be.
It's in the universe of Rocky.
Okay.
It is Apollo Creed's son.
Oh, it was Michael B. Jordan, wasn't it?
Yes. And Rocky trains him. That was the premise of
to
Creed
fight
1.
Drago's
well,
kid.
Well, the second one, yeah. Drago, fights his, yeah.
See, I wanted to see what happened to Drago after he got beat.
Well, you find out.
Do you really?
In Creed 2, find out.
I guess I'm going to have to watch Creed 2.
I don't want
to
ruin it for you.
See, I would have called that Drago.
But
it's not really about Drago. Yeah. It's about Apollo Creed's kid.
And Drago's kid.
Yeah.
But the backstory of what motivates his, it's really cool.
We all knew that Rocky's kids weren't going to be boxers. You see those little dweebs back when he was beating Drago? No chance. I'm trying to think what else. What else are some of my favorite movies from back then?
Yeah, I mentioned Sandlot. That one came up. You know, would it be set in the 60s or 70s, you know? And I know they've had sequels like direct-to-video, which were not very good. Mentioned Little Giants. There's a ton. I've always wanted to see Jim Carrey do another Ace Ventura because I loved that when I was a kid. I guess I was about 12 years old when that first one came out. I've always wanted to see that. What would he do? What would Ace Ventura be up to nowadays?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to. I think the Goonies is probably the one that.
Goonies is good.
I'd want to see the most. You know, oh, here's one. Oh, never mind. Strike that. You know what I want to see? And this may be the most boring movie of all time because they wouldn't be doing anything. But I would love to see how Andy and Red lived out their lives on that beach in Mexico. What did they do?
I'm sure they fixed up that boat and
just go out and catch fish, sell them to the
back,
guy.
Yeah, and
down the street, he makes fish tacos.
Sit in the beach and drink a lot of margaritas.
Yeah, I'm in for that. I'm in for that, and then maybe even kind of show what happened back at Shawshank after he escaped.
Yeah.
With the other prisoners that were still there, did it give them some kind of mastermind? That one guy was too stupid to do it. I can't say the line that I remember the most out of that movie for him, but the lawyers didn't do him a good job. Let's just say that. I can't remember his name. Haywood, maybe. Anyway, that's where I would go. I may have a new favorite. Andy and Red just sitting on the beach the whole time. It'd be like Castaway, except for not trying to get off the island.
Right.
Just sitting there trying. Would they ever figure out where they went? Would they go down there and pull capers?
I think I was satisfied with that ending.
Well, of course.
Because they old buddies got back together and they're. He was working on that boat, and yeah, so it would be a boring movie because they would just be on the beach.
Yeah, they killed it. They absolutely killed it. Man. I'm afraid they might mess it up so bad that Shawshank would go down.
Are you nervous that Top Gun, the new one, might not be as good?
Nah.
Sequels are hard to live up to the original.
Yeah, they are. But it's been so long, like Tyler had to make his kids go watch the first one, you know.
Hey, get caught up on your Mission Impossible. There's a new trailer out for the new.
No kidding. Thanks to Rodney Skinner, Paul Jones Drug.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.